dream. Is it a dream or a nightmare? We're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly from a man who's living on his very own power.
This is Ali Clark on ABC Adelaide.
As we head towards 20 to 10, what's the biggest stress in your life? I mean, for a lot of people, it would have to be the bills, the electricity, the gas, the water bills, right? Well, it's not an issue for my next guest. He's living completely off the grid. And it's not out in the sticks. I think a lot of people think, oh, if you're living in the grid, on the grid, you're out in the hills or somewhere else. No, instead, he's living in metropolitan Melbourne. Let's find out why. Good morning, Michael Gunter. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Ali. I was just listening to you a bit before, and I heard that Elvis song, which doesn't do it for me, called It's Now or Never, but I think it really is now or never for our platonic regard for Mother Earth, and I think that's my driving force to try and reduce the carbon footprint to deal with the climate crisis.
So do you think it's true that when we do think of off the grid, we do think of people living in the hills or on a rural property or somewhere else? Because is there many that you know of that are living off-grid right in the middle of the city?
I think they're more than own up to it. And I think there's a lot of fear from people that they'll be stung with some sort of penalties. And I think the industry has actually made threats. The electricity distributors talk about the spiral for their industry, and they're worried that too many people will go off-grid. But look, I think that's the end stage of a process. And the process, in its early stages, even before you go off-grid, can do an awful lot if you do it strategically, to deal with the dysfunctional electricity market that we seem to be working with at the moment.
All right. Well, where do you start then, Michael?
Strategic energy conservation, which, you know, it has an old-fashioned name called megawatts, but I don't want to get into the jargon too much.
No.
Megawatts meaning negative watts or watts that you don't have to buy in off the grid or consume. And I think the two key things that I've identified in my dwelling here is solar hot water, which is old-fashioned, the old-fashioned flat solar panels that are just a sheet of metal and some water pipes going through them. But they are, when you store the hot water in a tank, that is base load energy storage, because hot water is a form of energy. And it's an energy service when you turn on your hot tap after sunset and you get baseload energy delivered to your bath or to your shower. So, yeah, there's that, which deals with baseload power. And then the other thing, but particularly for the Adelaide blackout most recently last week, would be evaporative air conditioning, which I don't have here yet, but it's on my wish list. But evaporative air conditioning is such a low-powered thing that it can be run every evening, hot evenings in summertime, basically on a battery that's been charged by solar power. It can be totally grid independent. It can work during a blackout. And if there is a blackout during a real heat wave, solar powered evaporative air conditioning could not only force down the market, if it was widely adopted, could not only force down the market price of wholesale electricity to make industry more affordable, heavy industry, but it could even save lives. Frail elderly people and newborn babies and so forth.
How much would you be looking at to set this up? Because I think a lot of people have thought, wow, after what everybody's going through and every time that bill comes through the letterbox, maybe it is time to start looking seriously into going so-called off the grid. But what sort of investment have you had to make for this?
Yeah, well, if I take it as a stage thing and put all the pieces of the jigsaw in place, so you start off with solar hot water and solar powered evaporative air conditioning. I haven't actually priced that yet because the solar hot water is pretty pricey. I think my ex paid $6,000 for her gas boosted solar hot water with the modern sexy evacuated tube solar collectors. But there are ways of doing it more cheaply with the old flat plate technology, which still works very well in the Australian climate. I do a lot of this stuff DIY, so I not fully across the commercial prices. But in terms of the actual electricity system that I've got, it's old-fashioned lead-acid batteries called AGMs, and 10 kilowatt-hours of storage there. That costs me only $1,600. The inverter I went to, the local retailer, J Car, and I bought a 2 kilowatt inverter for $2,000.
Okay, yep.
And then solar panels, I don't know, they're probably another 2,000. So we're looking at around about 6,000 all up.
Okay.
But most people can't do a DIY. If you do the low voltage DC wiring incorrectly yourself, you could burn your house down. So
yeah.
I wouldn't encourage people
let's
to
not do that.
Use a Sparky or an installer.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad wants to know, with a decent sized solar or battery system, could that be used to run refrigerated air conditioning or an oven? Like, how powerful do these battery systems get?
I've had to put in, I've gone off gas as well, so I've had to put in a wood heater to keep warm in winter, and that cost another $2,000, to be honest. And,
what about an oven?
I don't want to connect that up to my hot water tank as well, and that's another thing on the to-do list, because, you know, if my solar hot water gets lukewarm in the winter, it's not much fun in the shower, to be honest.
I can imagine that, but what about things like a grab? Grab wants to know if things like an oven, yeah.
Not an electric oven, no. I don't have an oven, I just use it. I'm sort of bachelor recluse who is cooking in a Dutch oven, which is a converted old Sunbeam fry pan. I can run the fry pan at a very low voltage, at as little as 150 watts for simmering my food, and I can cook. Yeah, but practically speaking, if you want to have air conditioners after dark and, electric ovens, all those sort of even electric heating appliances like column heaters or a split system that can do heating in the wintertime, that just is not doable. It's not economic from my point of view, so I've gone back to wood.
So you've really changed the way that you live. It's 14 minutes to 10. You're on ABC Adelaide, and Michael Gunter is my guest. He has gone completely off the grid, and he lives right at Bankstown, in the middle of metropolitan Melbourne. So I'm finding a little bit more out about the way that he lives. Now, Chris wants to know, Michael, if you go off the grid, so to speak, you still have to pay electricity services fees, right, because it goes past your property. What services do you actually have to pay for?
I don't know what the situation is in South Australia, but I'd be surprised if that's correct. If it comes to the crunch, I think there'd be a good class action against the electricity distributors for people like me to go to the Productivity Commission and the ACCC and the Australian Energy Regulator and say, well, look, we're doing it cheaper by bypassing the natural monopoly, and we can prove that. And, we have our lifestyle choices and our lifestyle changes that involve grossly reducing our power, but because we do that, we can say we can satisfy all our energy needs cheaper than being connected to the grid. And that's what I'm on the way to demonstrating with this project here. And in fact, my tenants in the neighbouring suburb are also off grid. They've got gas for their winter heating and cooking, so that's much, much easier to get off the electricity if you have gas.
Barry from Spalding's called 1300 222 891. Hi, Barry.
How are you?
I'm going okay. What did you want to say?
I think what the gentleman's saying got a lot of merit, but I think it's a lot of us that can't afford to share. The concept, and what I would like to suggest that I would like to ask this for is, I've got 20 solar panels on the roof, and I think we only get 6.8 cents, I think it's a kilowatt, rebate back into the grid, which is virtually covers your connection fees. Where if you go back, I think Kevin Rudd, he's run with money everywhere, and then people got power solar put on with incentives, but people that did it earlier, I think, are getting 37 cents.
Yeah.
Where we get 6.8, and what I'm suggesting, and I would like to know the answer, just say the government said, or whatever power it is, has said, okay, you guys are getting good number 37, and these people are up 6.8. If it was changed so everyone is on 30 cents, I reckon you'd find there'd be another 50,000 homes in South Australia would end up with 20 solar panels, 5 kVA, on all their roofs, and so many more businesses have solar panels. It would create massive employment opportunities. And also, I'd like to know if there was, say, an extra 50,000 homes with solar panels on in this state and many more businesses, how much would that help compensate the power shortages in crisis times?
Barry, really, really good ideas and questions there. Michael Gunter, can you comment on any of those?
Yeah, for Barry, I would suggest the key thing for anybody who's got existing solar electric panels on their roof is to get their electrician to modify for islanding capability, which means you get lights and emergency power for your phone and USB plugs during a power blackout, which with the climate change and the tornadoes and the increased winds and storms, it's going to tear down more of these poles tomorrow. So get the islanding.
Okay, so there's a possibility for Barry, and we might follow up with some of Barry's bigger ideas there as well. Michael Gunter, it's been really good to talk to you. Thank you very, very much for your take on how you've gone off the grid in the middle of metropolitan Melbourne.
No worries. Happy Valentine's Day, Mother Earth.
You too. Thank you, Mike. Thanks very much. If you want to find out anything more, you can actually track down Michael by his website, which is voltscommissioner.net. That's voltscommissioner.net.